Right, Psalms 1. If you have your Bibles, be in Psalms 1. Had a real good title for the first one. It was Psalms 1, Part 1. And tonight it's Psalms 1, Part 2. So it doesn't get too much better. And then the next one, who wants to guess what the next one's going to be? Psalms 1, Part 3. Yeah. So we're on Psalms 1, Part 2 tonight. We'll begin reading in verse 1. I love this psalm here. I believe, don't quote me. Was it you, Brother Rocky, that said you liked this one? That was you, brother? All right. It's Psalm 1. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house once again on this Lord's Day. And I just thank you, Lord, for your people that have come out this evening. Thank you, Lord, also for the work you've done in our hearts this morning. I ask you to meet with us once again this evening. I ask you to be with those who are unable to be with us. I ask you to be with those watching. And just ask you, Lord, to give me the words you'd have me to say this evening, and I'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So a few weeks ago, maybe it was even prior to the missions revival, we looked at the first part of Psalms 1 and Psalms 1 and 2. So as we looked in that message at three things not to do, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Those that live in utter rejection, rebellion to God. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Those who sin without regard or care that they are sinning. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. That's those who in anger sow seeds of discord against authorities or other people. So don't do these three things. And instead of doing these three things, we are to do two things. And as a result, you'll be blessed. We are to delight in the law of the Lord, which means we should be excited about it and we should get joy out of it. We are to also meditate day and night on the law of the Lord, which means when you finish reading, have something to take with you to meditate on. And that is important. When you dig into the word, make sure that you leave with something, that you leave with a thought for later to meditate on and chew on. Sometimes think about past devotions that you've had with God. Maybe you're on a trip. Think about things that God has shared with you in times past. I believe, as it's been said before, I believe it was double mint chewing gum that used to say double the pleasure. So having double mint supposedly made it double the pleasure, they would say. So in taking something with the word, you get it twice, you get it three, you get it four times, the enjoyment, not just once. So if we don't do these three things, get your counsel from the ungodly, stand around with sinners, or sit around with the scornful, and you do these other two things, and if you delight in God's word and meditate on it day and night, verse 3 will be the result of these decisions. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So four things will come from not being planted in the wrong company, with the ungodly, with sinners, with the scornful, and then by getting delight in the word of God and being planted in the word of God even throughout the day in meditation. And here they are. Number one, you will be like a tree planted by rivers of water. Number two, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Number three, his leaf also shall not wither. And number four, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, we're going to break these down tonight. First, you'll be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. One benefit to this, when you look at nature and how God designed trees that have a bountiful water supply do better than trees that are in dry places. Some places cannot barely grow trees at all. They're just too dry. So if you don't plant yourself in the wrong ground with bad company, getting your counsel from the ungodly, and standing around sinners that will influence you negatively, and if you don't sit in the seat of the scornful, and if you delight in the law of the Lord, and if you meditate on it day and night, you will be a tree that is planted in the right soil, in the right location, getting the proper water intake, and you will flourish spiritually. And I began to think about gardening. Some plants do better down south. Up north, you can concoct some things to extend the growing season. But this is all man's concoctions to try and make something grow that geographically would grow better somewhere else, naturally. Just the way God designed it. When man is involved, it is inevitable that something will go wrong. And spiritually speaking, if you don't do these three things, and if you do those two things that we looked at from verses 1 and 2, you will be planted in the place that God wants you. Not where you would plant yourself and then concoct an environment that is bound to fail. You'll be a better tree by being planted where God would have you to be planted, and where God plants you will be in the right soil, it'll be in the right location, and it's only there that we will see the fruit that God expects from us. I was talking one day with someone, and he was considering planting watermelons in a place that stayed wet on his property, by and large. Why is that? It eat up the water that it needed. It would require less of him to make it work. If he's like me, the day gets away sometimes and you forget to water. There's been times I forgot to water. Which means that at times we can fail a plant based on not giving it what it needs. God don't do that. So in part, I encourage you tonight to leave where you are planted up to God. Christ will plant us where nutritionally we're going to get the most value. We know today that roots are important. Where you are planted is important because where you're planted will determine your fruit, and our fruit brings glory to God. And we will not bring glory to God like we should, like we could, and like we would if we seek to plant ourselves our way and take our very own nutrition into our own hands. Now look also at the second part. If you don't get your counsel from the ungodly or stand around sinners or sit with the scornful and you delight in God's word, you meditate on it day and night, you will bring forth fruit. But not only fruit, but notice the next phrase, in his season. Season is defined as a fit or suitable time, the convenient time, the usual or appointed time. So bringing forth fruit in the right season is crucial. And it greatly depends on where it is planted. Nothing makes a grower happier than to plant something and see it develop fruit when it's supposed to, which is in the right time. And you know, the Lord convicted me about this at one point in time, and still does, quite frankly. You know, God has a timeline for our fruit. God has planted us, and God has an expectation on when he would like to see fruit from that plant. And God has been very patient and long-suffering with me, and I'm sure that you can testify to that also, because in some areas I may have been planted for a few areas, but maybe haven't had seasons of bountiful fruit there. And it's an example that we could all perhaps glean from, even an example of the fruits of the Spirit. God has planted us there, but maybe we haven't had bountiful seasons of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But I do believe that Jesus wants to see us bring forth fruit in the place that we have been planted. It brings a grower much joy to go out and eat the fruit of the vine. God gets to take part in and use the fruit that His working has led to in our lives. Seasons are important. So keep in mind that God has a timeline for us. One of the things that Sarah and I would do in gardening is look at the timeline, so to speak, of a plant. You look at it at a couple weeks. You look at it at 4 weeks, 6 weeks, and you look at it. Then you look at it at full maturity just to see if our plants were on the right track. We wanted to see if they were behind or on schedule. And God plants us, and He has a timeline. He has a stage of growth. He has a growth chart. And I ask you tonight, where are you tonight, and where am I tonight on God's growth chart? Because I told y'all about my life. I took detours. In Luke 13, 6 through 9, it deals with a barren fig tree. It was in a man's vineyard. It had not grown fruit in its season for 3 years. And he wanted his dresser to cut it down. Why? There was no fruit. The dresser, though, if you know the story, requested one more year to see if it bore any fruit. And if it did not, then cut it down. A tree that does not bear fruit in its proper season is not a blessing to the planter. In John 15, 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. We bear fruit that pleases God by remaining planted where God would have us. For example, God has planted my family in this area, at this church, as hard as it was, the hardest decision I've ever had to make in the ministry was to leave Caesarea and to come here. Well, step out into nowhere and then come here. That was the hardest thing hardest decision I've ever had to make. But I knew that if I stayed, I would be keeping myself in soil that I did not belong. I'd be keeping my family in soil that we didn't belong. As much as I wanted to stay there and be misplaced, because that's what was in my heart, the Lord had to change my heart. I'd have been misplaced. My family would have been misplaced. So as hard as it was to allow the Lord to pluck us up by the roots and move us somewhere else and dig a hole, so to speak, and set us right there and then cover it in and pat it all down and everything. And then what happens after that? The roots start doing what? They start going down, then they start spreading out. And then guess what? It's like it's their new home altogether, all the way around. It's their new home. But as hard as that was, I knew that we would not bear the fruit that we were supposed to bear with our lives if we did not allow the Lord to plant us where He would have us to be planted. You'll bear the most fruit. You will bear the most fruit where God has planted you. Those of you in here tonight, I trust that you're here also because God has planted you here. You're a part of this church because God has planted you here. I trust that you. Which means if any of us decide to up our roots and go plant them somewhere else, apart from God, we'd not bear as much fruit as God would like, and it would not please Him because we decided to plant ourselves. I've known people to completely uproot themselves from where God had them and plant their roots somewhere else, and it didn't work out. Why? God didn't want to do that. They did that. When we stay where we're planted, that is where we will bear the most fruit. Look also at the benefit of being planted in the right place. His leaf also shall not wither. Wither means to fade, to lose its native freshness, to become sapless, to dry. We can all be likened on two trees. The Bible don't call us trees in this passage. but we can be likened to them. We're like trees. Christ says in Scripture that He's the vine and we are the branches. The key to growth is being planted in Christ, being grafted in to the vine, being planted where He would have us to be planted. If we're not careful, we can become withered. We can become sapless. We can become dry, and we can bear little fruit. You know, there was a time when I was away from the Lord, you would have looked at my life and you wouldn't have seen fruit. You wouldn't have seen it. I wasn't walking with God. I was away from the Lord. I was living the life of a jarhead. That's what I was doing. That's the way I was living life. You'd have looked at my life and you wouldn't have saw fruit. Now, what ended up happening? I'll tell you what happened. I began ignoring verse 1 and verse 2 of Psalm 1. My friends weren't Christians anymore. My counsel wasn't coming from Christians. It wasn't coming from pastors anymore. I was spending time with people that felt the way I did. Scornful. And that was a time I was a scorner. And I tell you, and I didn't delight in the law of the Lord, and I wasn't meditating on His law day and night. Because of that, you follow verse 1 and 2, you're going to live a fruitful life. You don't follow verse 1 and 2, you're not going to live a life of fruit for the Lord. None of us wants to wither. I trust that. The key is to be planted where God would have us to be planted, getting the nutritional value that He has for us, and then we'll have strength, and we will not wither. Lastly, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. Now, this is ideal. The other parts of the passage likened us to trees and growth and fruit in its season. Then this part brings us back to who we are in our humanity. And whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever is in the same sense as whatever. So it would essentially mean whatever you do. Prosper means to grow, to increase, to thrive, to gain. That means you're going to grow, you're going to thrive, you're going to make gains. And this should be our desire. Scripture says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If you're planted in Christ and walking with Christ, submitted and surrendered to Christ, you cannot go wrong. Whatever you put your hands to that God is in, it's going to prosper. And I thank the Lord for that. And as long as you're gaining, you're prospering, you're gaining. And I tell you what, sometimes we have a tendency to think that at the first sign of loss that we're in the negative. But that's not the case. It's easy to want to think that. It's easy to want to think that you get somewhere, you just start something or something like that, and then maybe it looks like you're taking a couple steps back or things might not be going as fast as what you would like, and you would think, oh, subtraction, subtraction, subtraction. The Lord's added more than He's ever took from us. We got to be reminded of that. Sometimes we feel like we're losing out on a whole lot, and all this when our focus is wrong. Getting to focusing on loss instead of all the positives, instead of all the pluses, the addition. I'm thankful for it. Since I started back for the Lord, back in 2011, I've seen nothing but growth and increase. Don't get me wrong. There's been setbacks. There's been hiccups. There's been things that I didn't like, things that I didn't want, things that I didn't think made any sense at all. Because to us, it don't make sense to take one step forward, then three steps back. But then you take five forward. And then you might take three back, but then you take 10 forward. You're still going forward, even though you might take a step or two back. You're still going forward. You're still trending in the right direction. It's been nothing but gain in the grand scheme of things. What's a step back when you get to take a few more? You're always advancing. Only God can set it up like that. Prosper, to grow, to increase, to thrive, to make gain. But this is only for the saved and for those that apply verses 1 and 2. Because there was a time, and you even think about the Bible, and we looked at stewardship some time ago. You can either gain money and not know where it come from, or you can lose money and not know where it came from. Both of those are biblical principles. You walk away from God, you won't be able to number your losses. You won't be able to number them, and I've been there. You get with God, you start walking with Him, you start following Him, you surrender your life to Him, gains. You're going to prosper. And this ain't no prosperity gospel stunt, I'm just telling you. You surrender your life to the Lord, He's going to bless you. Sadly, down in verse 4, we see that the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Chaff is defined as the husk when separated from the corn by thrashing, riddling, or sinnowing. So the ungodly, they're not planted in Christ. They don't have fruit. They are dried out and they're sapless. They're all over the place because the wind carries them about. If you've ever, and I liken the chaff to sticks, even though it's talking about something different. But if you've ever picked up sticks or seen sticks out on the ground, what has happened most of the time is the branches or twigs have withered, dried out, sapless, and then with the wind, they broke off from the tree. If you've picked up one and there's a certain snap to it when it's on the ground, that's a little more distinct than when it's connected to the tree. They've been blown about at times. If you're saved here tonight, be thankful that you have position in Christ, that you are planted in Christ. Be thankful tonight that you're not as those who don't have Christ, that are carried off by every wind of doctrine and heretical theology, and that are in search of anything and everything to latch themselves onto in an effort to find what only Christ can provide. Be thankful for your position being planted when you go out into society. You'll see people all the time, and you can tell. And my heart goes out to them at times. Insecure, but trying to be relevant. Insecure, but trying to be socially accepted. They don't even know who they are. They don't even know who they are. They're just trying to fit somewhere. And you can tell when somebody don't fit, but they're trying to. Trying to dress certain ways or look certain ways, talk in certain ways. Be thankful for the position that we have in Christ. Your security is in Christ. It's not in yourself, it's in Christ. And I had to learn this because there was a time my whole world was upside down. I had to learn to put my confidence. I had to place my confidence in the Lord. When you deal with the upbringing that I had and rejection and my dad leaving and my dad suicide, I took all that stuff personal. I took everything that happened in my life and I tied myself to a whipping post and I took every bit of those things and beat myself to a pulp with them. I was nothing. If you ask me what I was nothing. I was less than dirt. And I had to learn to allow the Lord to be my strength. I'm not important because of me. I'm important because of Him. I'm nothing. I'm nothing of myself. But because of Him, I'm something. And He had to raise me up. But I'm always reminded of where I was. Because I was once that small shell of a man that was looking at everybody else and what everybody else was doing. To some degree, find worth. Even though I was very independent and I did my own thing, I was still in some weird kind of way, looking to some degree for approval, to fit in. Be thankful for the position that we have in Christ. Again, we're something because of Him. Be reminded tonight of the blessings of heeding verse 1 and 2. The blessing of verse 3. The blessing of not being in verse 4. Not everyone can say this. But all thanks, glory, and praise goes to Christ that we can. And we'll stop here because verses 5 and 6 is going to take up all of our time the next time we get to this. Lord willing, maybe next week. Let's pray.